But it's acts of tenderness. Does that involve compassion? Yes. Does it involve love? Yes. But it's this tender. He's not going to come in with a ball bat. And it's interesting. I don't know that you can push it very far. But the noun, racham, is womb. The racham is a very tender place. And emunah, truth, faithfulness. You want to know what God's holy character is? There it is. So you could say, I'm going to betroth you to me in holiness. And then look at the end of verse 20. Somebody read it, please. You will know Yahweh. Here we are, and this is why I chose the opening hymn. Knowing you. Knowing you. You will know who I am. As my character is reproduced in you. We're going to talk a lot about know 2 weeks from now when we talk about chapter 4. But intimate acquaintance. And that day I'll respond to the skies, and they'll respond to the earth, El and Asherah. The earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, the olive oil. They'll respond to Jezreel. I'll plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I'll say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they'll say, you are my God. I've been recently thinking about biblical storylines, themes that run through the Bible. And this is one. You will be my people and I will be your God. Runs right through the Bible. From beginning to end. I will say, you're my people. And you'll say, you're our God. That brings us then to chapter 3. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her. As the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. Now that's a textual problem there, and I mentioned in next time's lesson. Hosea is one of the most difficult books textually in the Old Testament. There aren't many textual problems in the books of the Old Testament by and large. But Hosea has quite a few. There is a rather famous story of an Oriental PhD student who did not expect to be asked a question on Hosea in his comprehensive exams, but he was. Discuss the text and theology of Hosea. Hosea. Text corrupt, also women. Needless to say, he did not do too well on that one. So that's one way of taking that. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So, now this is, I think, significant. I bought her for 15 shekels of silver. 15 shekels is a cheap price. 30 shekels is the normal going price for a slave. She's on the block. And a lethek of barley. I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will behave in the same way toward you. We're talking about the exile. I'm going to buy you back again. The Israelites will live many days without a king or a prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. I think that what we've got there is a telescopic picture. Now, when you're looking through a telescope, things that are 100 miles away look very close to things that are right near you. I think we're talking about God buying them back from the exile and Jesus buying us back from our sins, the Davidic king. No Davidic king after the exile. But there will come a day. There will come a day. So the exile won't be the end of Israel. In some ways, it'll be the rebirth of Israel. Because God will allure them and lead them into the wilderness and speak tenderly, literally, to her heart. That's what Boaz did to Ruth that night on the threshing floor when she is terrified of what this man could do to her. He spoke to her heart. And this is what, in Isaiah chapter 40, when God says, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. I'm not out to get you." That's the snake talking. So, I think chapter 2 and 3 of Hosea are some of the most beautiful in the Bible. Questions, comments, observations? You've been very silent. You got to get your game going here.
It strikes me that all of these punishments are really means of grace that are frustrating her attempts, her best efforts to destroy herself.
Yes, yes. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's God's modus operandi, that he brings us to the end of ourselves so that we have to think, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, but right with that, though, I think I'm sitting here thinking, like, how do I read this for me today?
Yeah.
And if you don't realize that, you're just going to keep running your head up against the wall over and over and over. And... yeah, so I sit here thinking, like, this text is so important because it tells us, look, if you're in a spot where you're run up against a wall, ask yourself what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah. We need to know, like, how to read our situation and to find God in the midst of it.
Yeah, and that's really a pastoral role. If your nets are empty all the time, even when they're full, why is that? Why is that? Yeah, yeah. Good. What else?
I just like those words, tender and whatever.
Yes.
Where Ezekiel 36, where he says, "I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart."
Yes, 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 yes. And I think these words were vitally important then for the people who went into exile. When they're thinking, oh my goodness, God hates us. Or God has failed. And here, oh no, look here what Hosea said 30 years ago. God has taken us into the wilderness in order to tell us again, I love you. Oh my goodness. I'm very confident that the reason why the exile was not destruction but was revival is because of the prophets. People smuggled those scrolls out to Babylon and read them and said, oh my goodness.
They were equipped with hope.
Yes. Yes.
And because it was renewal and a new beginning, it, interestingly, Matthew chapter 1 frames history with Abraham, David, exile, and Messiah.
Yeah.
So the exile is as important in our understanding as,
yeah,
as any of those other,
yeah,
parts.
Yeah. And I always love this about Jesus' genealogy. There are 5 bad girls in there. Rahab, for pity's sake. A madam. But that's what God can do. That's what God can do. Bathsheba. I think she knew where David was. Now that may be unkind to her. I don't know. But anyway. Yes. Anything else? Yes.
So Hosea was he primarily a prophet to Israel?
The northern kingdom. Yeah.
So,
but I think there's no question but that there was a lot of border crossing between Judah and Israel. So I think there's
those
no...
Those who went into exile were Judah.
Those well,
went
then...
Into exile from northern Israel.
What we don't know about that is when, for instance, when Ezra is talking about those who went back from exile, he includes some of the northern tribes. The thing about the 10 lost tribes is a bunch of hooey. So it's not only the Judeans who went back. It is primarily the Judeans. But there were some from the northern tribes as well. But yes, the very reason that it's, the very evidence that it's preserved for us tells us that it was not lost when the northern kingdom went into exile. Okay. All hearts clear, as the Quakers say. We'll see you in, I'll see you, Karen and I will see you in 2 weeks. Let me pray. Oh, Father, what can we say? You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you that when we have turned against you, when we have determined that we can meet our needs for ourselves better than you can, you still are waiting to welcome us back. Praise you. Praise you. In your name, amen.